Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful business women together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. My name is Shawn Marie Torrey, and I am your host today for our show, Business is Personal. And with me today is yet another incredible leading lady, Bethany Kelly, who is the founder of Courageous Creatives, does incredible work. She does book positioning and planning. She's a writing coach. She does ghostwriting and editorial services, design services, you name it when it comes to publishing your book and getting it out of your head and into your hands. And Bethany Kelly is our girl. And our show today is Stop Resisting, Write Your Damn Book Already. And Bethany, I'm so excited to have you with us today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be on the show.
Well, I am really excited to have you on the show, and I know that this particular topic is so juicy and so I think it's really an important topic to a lot of people. I don't even know the number. You may know the numbers, but the thousands and thousands, if not millions, of people who talk about wanting to write a book and who, you know, I'm sure that we have all heard, if not said ourselves at one point or another, I know that I have a book in me. I want to write a book. And I would love to start things off with you, Bethany, and ask you, what is your experience in having so many people have this passion or this desire to write a book, and yet it's just so hard for them to start, or it's hard for them to finish? Like, what do you think that's about?
I think that for the most part, getting started is hard. Getting started with anything is hard. And there comes a point when saying, I know I want to write a book, I want to write a book, that's all well and good. But until you make a decision and a commitment, mentally, you can't really get started. And it's like people get a little bit commitment phobic, you know. It shows up in relationships. It also shows up when you're wanting to step out and become an author. Making a commitment, making a decision allows you to go from, well, this is a nice idea, to how am I going to make this happen? And I think that is really key. And, you know, whenever we make a commitment in life, whatever it is, whether it's getting married, having kids, starting a business, going to university, whatever commitment we make, that commitment is tested all the way throughout. And you have to continue to go back to that commitment and the decision that you made, and becoming an author is no different. So I think that what differentiates people from the wannabes to the actual people who can say, I am an author, is the commitment.
You know, there's, and you may have read it, Stephen Pressfield, The Art of War. The War of Art,
The War of Art. The War of Art. It's a book I recommend to all of my authors because it's such a great tool and such a fantastic resource of how to get over yourself and your resistance. It's a wealth of information. I'd highly recommend that book to anyone who wants to write a book.
I'm so happy to hear you say that. And I know that it really crosses really all boundaries of kind of, you know, the conversation of resistance. But what I love about it specifically, especially for our conversation today, is that he was a writer, is a writer. And that's kind of where this this stemmed from. So I'm so happy that that's on your list as well as on mine. And with that, Bethany, the fact that it is so challenging for people to start, and, you know, and this idea of, you know, that it really starts with sitting down and making the commitment to do it. What would you say are two or three things that somebody could do right now? Like, so they've decided, yes, I really want to do this, but how do they go about, like, are there any tips or steps that they can take from, you know, of this idea of getting it out of their head and into their hands, as you say?
Yes, I have a couple of things that are very helpful. The first is, any commitment is an investment. To write a book is no different. You're going to be investing your time, your energy, and money. And you need to figure out at the beginning how you're going to be able to invest that in a way that works for you. And what I mean by that is that, for starters, you need to spend time at it. I mean, the book is not going to write itself. You are actually going to have to sit down and write. And for some people, that's a really daunting prospect, for most people, in fact. And everybody has an idea in their head of what they're supposed to do. And that, I'm not a big fan of the word supposed to and have to, because the reality is that when you write a book, and when you're going to be spending time and investing time into a project, the way that it works best is if you figure out a way to do it that works best for you. And some people, it's really works best for them to have like a set time every day that they sit down, whether it's half an hour or an hour or 20 minutes, they make a time every day and they sit down and they write. And even if they don't feel like writing, or if they don't want to write, or they have plenty of other things on their to-do list, they sit down for those 20 minutes and write. Even if they spend the entire time staring at their screen, they're investing that time in writing. So some people really benefit from a structure that helps them, that supports them in their writing. And other people, you know what, that just doesn't work for them. I would be one of those people. Some people are much more inspirational, and they're the kind of person that when inspiration strikes, and it might be like, you know, while they're in the middle of taking a shower, and boy, they have that idea of how that chapter could come across. And, you know, they get out of the shower, and with their towel still wrapped around them, they go and sit down and write that chapter. Or maybe they get started and get on a roll, and they'll write for 3 hours. And that's how that personality might work best, is doing it, is sort of latching onto that inspiration and taking advantage of it. So every person is different and everyone has different needs, and figuring out what's going to work for you is really key. And writing in a way that supports you and that supports your process and your personality.
Absolutely.
And the other suggestion that I would have is to write the kind of book that matches your personality. Because here again is where people have a lot of ideas like, I have to write this kind of a book, or it has to sound like this. And they start writing in a way that's just not authentic to them or to the way they like to express themselves. You know, maybe they're a really funny person and they're writing a really straight-laced, very constricting kind of way, and that just doesn't suit them, and they're not going to have any fun writing that book at all. It's going to be a nightmare. They're not going to like it. They're not going to be happy with it at the end. So you want to write the kind of book that suits not only what you have to say, but also your personality. That will make it a lot easier. And there's a really great book that I would recommend by an author named Robin Colucci. And the book is called How to Write a Book That Sells You. And she talks about, in it, among many other terrific things in this book, she talks about different author personalities and how to, and what kinds of books are best for different author personalities. That's a great book, a great resource that I would recommend for that.
Fantastic. And, you know, it's one of the things that I love about the work that you do and what you talk about is the fact that you are incredibly transparent. And I know that you are in the process of completing your own book. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit to, especially because it's, I mean, not only do you know this work really well, but it's like you're in the trenches with your clients. You know, like you, like there's nothing that they're going to be able to get by you because you are in the midst of it as well. So like you really get where they're coming from and the challenges and the struggles. So I'm just wondering what are some of the things that you do when you, let's say that you sit down to write, you've made a commitment, you've done some of these things that you're talking about, but maybe you're not feeling inspired, or maybe you are looking resistance right in the eye. What would you say, like, what are maybe some things that you do when you personally are dealing with that same kind of difficulty? Or you know that it's, you know, like, let's say that it's your time to write. You've carved out this 30 minutes or 45 minutes to write, and you're just really up against that wall. What are some things that you do to get on the other side of it?
Well, the first thing that I do is I take a deep breath and I remind myself that resistance is, and self-doubt, you know, it's not fun and it doesn't feel good, but it's an ally, you know, it's an indicator. And what it's telling us, and it can tell us many things, that fear always has a message, and sometimes we just try to avoid it so much we never really hear what the message is. But very often, what it's telling us is that we are dealing with something that we care about. We're, you know, it's an indicator of aspiration. Where it's reflecting love and care, something that we care about. And, you know, people who, and it's like, welcome to becoming an author. Self-doubt is part of the process. And one of the quotes that Stephen Pressfield says that I just love, it says, the counterfeit innovator is wildly self-confident. The real one is scared to death. So it means you're a writer. Congratulations. Take a deep breath. It's okay. Fear is telling you something. It's telling you that you care about something. And often the more fear we feel about something, the more certain we can be that this is what we need to do.
Oh, so, I love that, Anthony.
So the first thing that I like to do, like, I'm not a fan of being in conflict with our emotions and our feelings. I don't think that serves anyone. So very often we just need to welcome in the fear and be like, thank you for being here. Thank you for showing me what's important today. Thank you for showing me that I really deeply care about this project, that I really deeply care about my message and what I have to say. And sometimes it's very useful for me, especially, to dig a little deeper under the fear and ask myself some questions like, what am I really afraid of right now? What's the worst case scenario? Sometimes, like, playing things out to the worst case scenario helps you to realize that, well, you're actually going to be pretty resourceful and you're going to be all right even if the worst case scenario actually plays out. So there's different tips and tricks, but those are some that work for me.
Well, and I love what you're saying, Bethany, because it sounds like what you're not doing is encouraging somebody to try to push those feelings away or pretend that they're not there or to squelch them, but to really, you know, I guess to some degree kind of honor them, just be like, okay, this is the way that I'm feeling. You know, and just recognizing, like you said, which I thought was beautiful, that it's really just an indicator, you know, that this matters to you, but then to do it anyway, right? It sounds like really what you're saying is do not let that stop you. Like, honor it, recognize it, don't try to wish it away or pretend it's not there, but also don't let it be the thing that derails you.
Yes, absolutely.
And I loved what you said, too. It's like, you know, welcome to being a writer. So it really, what I'm taking away from this, Bethany, is that, you know, if writing this book is genuinely something that you are committed to making happen, then go into it with your eyes wide open, right? And recognize, like there are going to be moments, if not days or weeks, or if not constantly, that you're going to be having this feeling of self-doubt to some degree, but that it's just part of it. So I guess we should probably armor up and and get to work, I think is what you're saying.
And get some tools to help you work through the resistance and get some support, because, you know, here's the thing. If you've been wanting to write a book for a really long time and you haven't done it so far, you know what that really means is you're not capable of writing it on your own. You need help. And that's okay. We think that needing help is kind of a bad thing, or it makes us less than, but it's not. We all need help. And finding the right kind of help and support, and finding someone who can support you in your journey and can, like, hold you accountable and make sure that you're sticking to your commitment and that you're actually producing and helping you with some tools and techniques when you're, you know, hitting the panic button or you're so overcome with self-doubt that you feel immobilized. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's going to make you successful. So don't be afraid to get the help that you need. There's
Absolutely.
Nothing, you know, writing the book is the end goal. There's no virtue in doing the entire thing yourself and struggling through and it being a horribly difficult and painful experience. Why do that when you can get some support and it can be easier?
That is so good. And, you know, Bethany, we are, which is hard for me to believe, but we're at the midway point of our show. And
wow.
I know, it goes by so quickly, it kind of is mind-blowing. but I would love it if you wouldn't mind sharing with our listeners or anybody who might want to reach out to you or connect with you and chat with you a little bit more about what it is that you do. Could you share with our listeners the best way to reach you?
Yes, absolutely. The best way to reach me would be by email. And you can reach me at bethany@courageouscreatives.com. That would be courageous, you know, like the word courageous, and creatives with an S, courageouscreatives.com. That's the best way to get a hold of me. I will respond to your email, and I would be happy to set up a time to talk about your project and what kind of support you might feel you need.
Beautiful. Thank you, Bethany. And I just want to give you a quick acknowledgement. You know, again, I know, like I said, you were in the process of writing a book, and I think that, you know, I think at least of the women who I've met, there is no one that I've ever known who has either been a founder of a business or an entrepreneur or a professional who worked for a great corporation where there hasn't been a moment where we felt like, God, can I really do this? Am I out of my element? Am I a fraud? None of those things are true, of course, but I feel like as women, we tend to experience that more than men, and or at least we are more honest about the fact that we're feeling that. But that said, I also know that you've had many clients that have done incredibly well. They've become bestsellers on Amazon. They have remained on the bestsellers list or in the top 100. And so, I mean, just this year, you've had, what, 5 or 6 clients that you've been able to do that for?
Mm-hmm. Yes. In 2014, I had 6 clients make the top 100 bestseller. No, actually, 6 clients were number one bestsellers. And this year, we've got a lot of projects in the works. Very few have actually been completed yet. You know, it takes a little while sometimes to get those books done, but I anticipate the same results this year.
Well, and I just want to congratulate you on that, Bethany, because, and the reason that I think that's an important part of this conversation and certainly of your story is that you were in the process of getting your own book published and completed. And yet you are in there in the trenches helping these other really remarkable women get their books completed, do really well on Amazon, and get their message out there. So I think that that's really spectacular. And you know, speaking of Amazon and self-publishing and you know, all of the things that are going on in the publishing world, and I myself used to own a bookstore, and I also owned a publishing company, so I'm very familiar with that world, but I know that Amazon has dramatically changed the way that books are getting out there, the way that, we are able to get our message out there today. And so, you know, if we fast forward a little bit and somebody has actually completed their book, could you talk a little bit about, you know, this whole idea of Amazon versus big publishing? Is big publishing a thing of the past? You know, do you think that it's still worth trying to go the publishing route? Do you think somebody should create their own buzz and self-publish and then go to a publisher? Like, can you speak a little bit to this whole, like, idea of, well, I've written my book, now what do I do with it?
Right. Yes, I'd love to. And I think that there is a misconception that people have in terms of the big publishing houses. And I think that authors think if they get published by a publishing house, that that publishing house is going to handle all of the marketing and the promotion. And it's often very surprising for an author to find out that that is not the case. Now, if you are published by one of the big five, they do have a marketing budget, and they do have, you're going to have a, you know, a publicity agent, and you're going to have somebody who's going to be setting up some stuff. But the chances of an author getting published by one of the big five are very small. What I find is often underneath the desire to find a publisher is a need for someone to validate their work. And that's a very natural, normal need. And that doesn't necessarily have to come from a publisher. In my view, and of course my primary focus is helping authors to become self-published and to become, just get their work out there. But in my view, if you have to do a lot of the marketing or all of the marketing and promotion yourself, that's a big deal. Why not get all of the rewards of the, why not get all the financial rewards and have all of the control? You have to give up a lot of control, and you have, when you get published by a publisher, depending on the kind of publisher, but I'm talking like one of the established big publishing houses, and you have to give up a lot of the rewards. So if you really are just looking for somebody to put a stamp of approval on your book for that, sometimes I don't think that's necessarily worth it. And you can get somebody who knows about publishing, who's been in the industry, can look over your work and tell you if it's good enough or if you need to improve it in places, if it's going to capture the reader's interest. And you can self-publish, and you can get all of the rewards and have all of the control and say everything that you're going to say. Now, for some people, it really is a good idea, and there are some specific types of books or situations in which I do encourage people to go try to get a publisher, and it's not always the best move for every single person.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think it would be wise for somebody to do both simultaneously, and, you know, even if it's just to see if there is any genuine interest out there? In other words, you know, they finish their book and they immediately self-publish, but they also start pitching it to big houses, or do you think that it's really just a matter of doing it more organically? Because especially with, like you were saying earlier, you know, having these tools that are at our disposal, plus working with somebody like yourself, you know, maybe there's not the demand or the need to necessarily even start with a big publisher in mind.
Yeah, and you know what? There is always a right answer and a right choice for everyone. And sometimes mm-hmm. it's going one direction. Sometimes it's going another direction. Sometimes it's a combination of both. The fact of the matter is marketing and promotion has to play a big part if you want to be a successful author. And there are certain things that you need to think about at the onset so that you have a plan and you have a roadmap of where you're going. There are people who have been very disappointed by their results of self-publishing. And typically that's because they have no clear plan of what this book is going to do for them as an author and how they're going to leverage it. And if you do, you know, so if you just throw it up there and you know, your strategy for marketing is hope marketing, that you hope someone will find it, well, that's not a great strategy either. So if you are going to self-publish, you want to make sure that you have a plan and a strategy, and someone who has some experience in this field can be tremendously helpful in helping you to develop that plan that makes the most sense for where you are in your business, for what kind of book you're writing, for the audience that you're writing for the problem that the book is presenting a solution for. There's a lot of things that you can do to leverage, and those are important to think about at the beginning.
I really, really love that, you know, because you just, which you've kind of been saying in the, with the answer to that question, but I think what's really compelling is that self-publishing does not mean that you're alone or that you're actually doing it on your own. It just, which I think early on may have been the case, but I think again with, you know, with there being professionals and services who offer services like you do, you're not going it alone. But one of the benefits that I'm definitely hearing you say by self-publishing is that you really end up retaining the control over the project, which you're absolutely going to lose if you're with a publisher. And even though we weren't a huge publishing house, we definitely had the rights versus the author. So, you know, I've been on that side of it. So I think that that's really incredible advice. And Bethany, we've got about 2 minutes left. But I would love it if it's incredible. But if you could kind of close us with a short bit of info about what is the buzz about being an Amazon bestseller or being on the top 100, and why does that matter so much?
Okay, there's two things that matter. One is it's a great feather in your cap as an author to be able to say that you're an Amazon bestseller. It gives you some credibility, and that's nice. I like that. It's a great feeling. In my opinion, that's not the most important reason to become an Amazon bestseller. In my view, the reason that you want to become an Amazon bestseller is that Amazon is the largest online bookseller right now. It is a big store. It is a huge store. And when you can position yourself on Amazon in a way that allows you to get into the bestseller list, which would be in the top 100 in any category, what happens then is that Amazon's marketing machine starts to go to work for you. Amazon is a store. It's the biggest store. If something is selling well, Amazon is going to want to put that book in front of more customers so that they can sell more. That's what they want to do. That's their business. They're in the business of selling. But as an author who is self-publishing, it's a huge advantage because then you have Amazon's marketing machine working for you, putting your book in front of other people who are interested in similar books. So when you get into the top 100, and Amazon's marketing machine starts kicking in for you, then things like start to happen for your book where it's like, have you seen on Amazon where it's like, people who viewed this book also viewed, and it shows you all these suggestions, or people who bought this book also bought. And some people are set up for it, and other people have opted out of it, but there is an email that Amazon will send, and it will say, based on your recent search history, you might be interested in these books, and it'll send you a list of books. A little Big Brother-ish, and, you know, how did they get that information? It's kind of wow. But they do, and they can leverage that information for you, which is huge as an author because it's starting to put your book in front of more eyes, which is what you want. So in my opinion, positioning yourself well on Amazon, becoming an Amazon bestseller, yes, great, nice, and getting Amazon's marketing machine working on your behalf for your book, for you as an author, that is what I think is priceless.
Fantastic. Well, Bethany, I am so thrilled to have you with us today, and thank you so much for being such an incredibly informative guest. And what we definitely know is you don't have to go this route alone if you are ready to write your damn book already. So I just want to thank you again for being with us today, Bethany. And please, to our listeners, I encourage you strongly, if you want to have a discussion about getting your book completed or getting it published, I hope that you will reach out to Bethany Kelly from Courageous Creatives. And I've been honored to be your host once again for our show today, Business is Personal. And if you will join us next week for another incredible host who is also going to be having a great discussion with another remarkable leading lady. Our leading lady next week is Jan Slater, and she is the founder of Career Connection. And the topic is going to be DISC, Thrive at Work Using This Behavioral Assessment Tool. So I just want to say wishing everyone an incredible week. And until I talk to you the next time, remember that business is personal.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.